Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Actually, 31 weeks. It's called The Story. We're starting from the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. And it goes all the way to the book of Revelation. And so today we're on chapter 27. If you're a regular here, you probably have read chapter 27 in preparation for this service called The Resurrection. And so we're believing God that God would speak to us through his word today. Now, when we say the word resurrection, we're talking about someone who died. The way we sometimes talk about dying is we use it like kind of quickly in our English language. It's like if something catches you funny or you laugh, you say, I was dying laughing. Or if you get embarrassed, you'll say, I was dying. I just felt like going underneath the table and I wanted to be hidden. I saw something that came up on social media. It says this: do you ever wake up, kiss the person sleeping beside you, and feel glad that you are alive? I just did, and apparently will not be allowed on this airline again. So we're not talking about just using it quickly in our language. We're talking about a real person named Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and then he rose again in bodily form, and he resurrected out of the grave. If you don't know anything about the Bible or God or Jesus, let me just quickly talk to you about his life. He had a very interesting birth. Jesus was born of a virgin. He led a sinless life. That means he never did any sins. He never lied, cheated, did immorality. He didn't curse his parents. He did nothing. We are sinners, but Jesus Christ, the Bible says, never sinned in his whole life, although he was tempted. He did miracles, hundreds of miracles, and actually, I think there's about 2 or 3 billion people on the planet today that claim to be followers of Jesus. Christian people or followers will read the Bible and get strength and encouragement from the miracles that Jesus Christ did in the Bible. And then he died on the cross for our sins, if anyone would believe in him. And then after 3 days on this Easter or this Resurrection Sunday, he rose again from the grave. But let me just talk to you about for a moment about miracles. You've come here to Marlton Assembly of God. And by the way, we're glad that you're here. Or let me say this, we're glad that most of you are here. We don't know all of you, but we're glad that you're here. I'm just joking. But what has been happening at Marlton Assembly of God is that God has been doing miracles. And I want to tell you that God wants to do miracles this morning. You say, like, who's going to do the miracles? Jesus. Jesus is alive. The Bible says that he's in heaven, and he still works by his power. And we've been experiencing miracles. So if you come here today and you need a miracle in your life, you've come to the right place. This is a supernatural, miraculous place when people call on his name. In the last couple of weeks, we experienced a powerful miracle, and we put it on videotape for you. It's someone who started attending a year ago around this time on Easter, and how God has healed her. Would you watch this quick video?
In 2017, when I was pregnant with my son, I was rushed to the emergency room where I was told that I had a deadly heart arrhythmia. I was terrified. I was so scared, and I lived every day in awful fear. My daughter at the time was attending Marlton Christian Academy, and I grew to fall in love with all of the teachers and the staff there. I was getting letters sent home that they were praying for me and for our family, and I just felt so touched by that. And I felt God calling me to start attending Marlton Assembly of God, where I have been attending for a year and a half now. It was exactly 1 year ago in the Easter Sunday service where I learned why we celebrated Easter. We celebrated because Jesus died for our sins and he resurrected from the grave. It was then that I began weeping when I realized what he did for us. I continued to battle heart issues, and on January 6th of this year, I had a heart monitor implanted in my chest. 9 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night and my heart rate was 290 for 12 minutes. I thought I was going to die. The doctors told me that I should have gone into cardiac arrest that night and that it was a miracle that my heart did not stop. It was at that time that I realized that God was for me and not against me. I realized that his timing was so perfect, and I was so grateful that I had that heart monitor in. I began to pray and to just thank God for giving me this heart arrhythmia and to put all of my faith and my trust in Him. I was rushed into emergency heart surgery where the doctors told me that I had a scar on my heart. That was followed by an MRI confirming that there was a scar. I began going to the Wednesday night prayer service. If you've never been to this service, I encourage you to go. The service changed my life. Pastor Liz and Miriam prayed over me at the altar with oil, and they prayed for me to give it all up to God and to put all of my faith and my trust in Him. And that's exactly what I did. I felt so changed at the altar. I felt God's presence in my life. 2 weeks before my second surgery, the church was doing the Daniel fast, and I felt God calling me to do this. I wanted to be close to God. The fast began on a Monday, and by Tuesday, I noticed that all of my heart racing and all of my palpitations were gone. I went on to have a second heart surgery, and the doctor told me that there was nothing that needed to be fixed, that my heart was healed. There was no scar on my heart, and the MRI confirmed this as well. The scar was gone, and I would not need to have a defibrillator put in. God was so good, and I was so grateful and thankful to Him. I pray that if you're searching for a miracle, that you just keep your faith and all of your trust in God. I am no longer afraid to die. I cannot wait for the day that I am seated at the feet of Jesus, and I can worship Him for all of eternity.
Isn't it awesome? So if you've come here today, you need a miracle in your life. I don't know what it is. It could be in your marriage. It could be with your family, your kids. It could be with your finances. Maybe it's physical for you. I don't know. But at the end of this service, right around this altar, I'm going to invite you to, well, by that time we'll stand. I'm going to invite you to come up to the front, and I'm going to believe God with you for a miracle in your life. Jesus Christ did miracles, and because He's alive today, He does miracles today. But the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away our sins, and when He rose again from the grave, if people put their faith and trust in Him, He could transform their life from the inside out. And I want to talk to you really quickly about someone who gave their life to Jesus Christ at the exact same place I'm standing right now. Matter of fact, the picture above me shows Kevin and Amber and their two beautiful children. They're right there. Kevin, you can kind of wave to us. Amber, you guys can wave to us. They'll sign autographs after church if you want them. But Kevin has when in August, he started coming to our church, 7 months ago. He had never gone to church here or anywhere. He was not a churchgoer. He was invited to church. Amber has a background or whatever. They came to church, and Kevin gave his heart to Jesus Christ right here at the altar. That was back in August or September. It's not that bad. It's actually okay. The rest of the story gets better. The next part, Kevin, you're disappointing the crowd, Kevin. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the next step is water baptism, where you identify your life with Jesus. So you kind of go down into the water, just like Jesus went down into the grave and then rose again. And so Kevin got water baptized right here at this altar, right there. Look at that picture. He came up celebrating right here. Well, so Kevin and Amber, if you saw that picture, they actually have a family. You would think that they're married, but they're not married. And God began to stir their heart saying, okay, we have a family, but we're not married. Kevin, actually, we went out for breakfast. I paid Kevin. You owe me. Not really, but kind of. You know what I'm saying? You owe me. And he said, God is beginning to stir my heart that even though Christ came in, I've been water baptized, I started serving and joined a small group, I'm still not where I need to be with the Lord. I can't just act like I'm married and not. So he goes, I need to keep my responsibility. So by day, he goes and he's a loving father and nurturing and all of that stuff. But he has to move out until he gets married. And that's a little more difficult because he has to go drive on the other side of town, sleep on his dad's couch and all this stuff. And they want to get married. Their wedding date is in October, but at the same time, that's a long time to wait. And so I just got this something in the mail. Amber Nicole Cohen, they're getting married on June 1st. Isn't that wonderful? Because they want to honor the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, right here, right where I'm standing, Kevin gave his heart to Jesus. Right here, where I'm pointing at, is where he got baptized. Right here is where God convicted him of sin to get things right. And just 2 months, you're going to get married right here in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? God can transform your life. It's the miraculous power of Jesus. He has that power. So on this Easter weekend, it's not about bunnies and eggs. It's actually about Jesus who died on the cross. Let me show you what happened on Friday. On Friday, Jesus died on the cross. On Easter Sunday, today, Jesus resurrected. You say, but there's one day in between. What happened on Saturday? The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was in the grave, and some people believe, theologians believe, that he went to hell and preached against hell and overcame. But there was something that happens with his followers, and I want to talk to you about one of his followers by the name of Mary Magdalene. But what happened on that Saturday was a day of what I would call desperation, or the Saturday mindset. Death was absolute. There was hopelessness all around Jesus' camp. There was fear. Matter of fact, his disciples were in closed doors, and the doors were locked for fear in their life. But they forgot what the scriptures had said. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, says this, because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, ladies and gentlemen, but after 3 days, he will rise again. But it is easy to get caught up on Saturday with hopelessness and fear, but something happened on that day, and Mary Magdalene was the first person to Jesus' empty tomb. This is the gospel message according to the Gospel of John chapter 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And by the way, if you know the backstory of Mary Magdalene had 7 demons in her. Theologians believe that the number 7 is a form of completeness, which means that she was completely dominated by demons. Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus healed her of her demons, and she was completely perfect from that mindset, and from that day, she started following Jesus Christ. At the end of Jesus' life, you see her appearing now at the garden tomb. Some people say Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Bible never says that she was a prostitute. It's just that she was full of demons, and Jesus set her free. Excuse me. These plants have so much pollen in them, I'm dying right now. Whose idea was to put the plants on the platform? Sorry, that was not in the Bible. I'm just having a moment, my friends. She bent down over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other angel at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken away the Lord, they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." They thought they'd stolen the body. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. What really got her attention was not the empty tomb. Oh, thanks a lot, Roland. If you brought me money, I would appreciate it even more, brother. What got her attention was not the empty tomb. What got her attention was not the 2 angels. What got her attention is that Jesus said the words, "Mary." Jesus called out personally to her name. Did you hear before it says the angel said, use the word, it's a more of a formal word, a feminine word, says, woman, what are you looking at? I tried using that with my wife this morning. I said, woman, would you make me some bacon and eggs? You know what? She just turned right over. She didn't pay attention. But when he said the words, Mary, he personalized it and called her. I believe in 2019 that God, through the person of Jesus Christ, is personally calling people by name, and he's inviting you to the resurrection to change your heart and your life. He's calling, hey, Dan, come to me. If you're weary and tired, I'm going to give you rest. Adam, come to me. I can transform your heart and your life. If someone's burdened down with sin, Frank, come to me. Alice, Bob, Jose, we're a multicultural church. Jose, come here. Tyrone, come here. La FIFA, come here. Scott, Bob, Rob, Susan, whoever you are, Jesus is calling your name. You're here today, and it's not because of religion, or maybe someone invited you out, or there's a great buffet at Redstone. No, God is saying, come, I'm calling you by name. It wasn't the grave that got her attention. It wasn't even the angels. There are a lot of people that say, I'm spiritual today. But when Jesus calls your name, there may be people in the room, God's calling you to do something in your life. You want your life to matter. You know what Jesus, the first thing he told Mary? He goes, go tell my brothers. Go tell the disciples. And let the whole world know that I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to be at God's right hand throne. If anyone prays to me, that they can have forgiveness of sins. And if you're a Christ follower today, I encourage you to do exactly what Mary did. You go and tell people all around the world about the hope that's found in the power of Jesus Christ. It transforms people's hearts and lives. That's our hope. And maybe you've come here today, you don't know what I'm talking about. I want to tell you this, that Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross because he loves you. He died on the cross to take away your sins because he loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You say, well, John, this world is like crazy. I mean, there's full of problems and drugs and death and murder and violence, everything. Do you know it never used to be that way? In the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God created a perfect and pure world, and God himself used to walk with Adam and Eve in the coolness of the day. The Bible says there was no rain, there was no violence, there was no death, there was purity, there was trust, there was confidence, there was no insecurity, there was no defensiveness, there was no suicide. There were just people that were walking along with God. But something went wrong. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says something went really wrong. And it still affects us today. It affects you and your family. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? That's what Satan always does. He wants to come and twist God's word and lie to you. God always wants to tell you the truth. Next verse. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Everybody in this room will die because of this verse right here. Adam and Eve, when they ate from the apple or the tree that they were assigned not to, they could eat from any other apple, any other tree, but when they ate of it, sin came inside and death came inside. And there's consequences. Ladies, the reason why you have pain at childbirth, the Bible says it's because of the curse. Men, the reason why you have to work by the sweat of your brow is because of the curse. You go plant some vegetables out in your backyard, and there's some thorns and thistles that'll come up, or there's some weeds. Anybody else have weeds in their yard? And weeds come up, that's because of the curse. The whole world is under a curse because they sin against God. Next verse. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband. Adam, don't do it. Who is with her, and he did it. Oh, Adam. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They ate from that apple or that forbidden fruit. All of a sudden, they realized that they were naked, and they put coverings over them, and they went and started to hide from God. And that's where the problem is. But just like Jesus called Mary in the garden of the tomb, said, "Hey, Mary," way back in Genesis chapter 3, even when people messed up, God was always calling for people to come back to him. Adam! Where are you, Adam? Eve, where are you? We used to walk in the coolness of the day, and there was purity and holiness and security. You didn't know you were naked. I provided all of your needs. Adam, where are you, Adam? And Adam, they're all scared that God's going to kind of hurt them or sending them to hell or whatever. They're ducking and diving. They're sowing themselves. And I want to tell you, even if you feel like your life is messed up or you're like Adam and Eve and you're hiding from God or you're kind of feeling bad about yourself, there's a God who keeps calling your name because he loves you. He cares about you. And you can praise the Lord. And he does not want to send you to hell. He wants to give you life and life to the full. You say, "John, I have a lot of problems, a lot of sins, a lot of issues in my life." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I was born on April Fool's Day. From day one, I've had problems in my life. But God, in his goodness, he calls my name. "John, I love you. And when I mess up and I don't want to deal with God, I don't want God to find me. When I'm hiding and I'm ducking and diving, this was disobedient to my parents when I was younger, and I just was wanting to do my own thing, and I'm kind of trying to hide or whatever. I still felt God calling my name. He knew where I was. God knows all things. But in his love and his mercy, he goes, "John, where are you? John, where are you? Why don't you come back? Let me forgive you. Let me heal you. Let me show how much I love you and care about you. But God, I mean, I'm kind of doing my own thing. Are you a good God or not or whatever?" And I'm ducking and diving. I'm doing my own thing. I'm lost over. And God, in his mercy, calls my name. I want to tell everybody in this room, God's calling your name. Just like Jesus called Mary, "Won't you come? I'm going to transform your life." This is the greatest message in the whole world, the gospel message. And God called. So why do people not accept it? Why do people kind of walk away? Is it because we're stubborn or we have pride? I saw this sign on the highway. "This year, thousands of men will die from stubbornness." No, we won't. Is it possible that we just want to do our own thing? It's not so much that we don't believe in God, but we just kind of want to do our own thing. You only live once, right, Pastor John, right? Can I just do me? Well, you can. But God loves you so much, he's still going to call your voice. "Adam! Where are you, Adam?" You say, "Isn't God just trying to take away our fun?" No. God knows that sin destroys our life, and there's consequences for our sin. So when we stay in our own bubble, in our own sin, you say, "Well, why doesn't God just leave me alone?" He'll leave you alone if he wants to, but he loves you too much to keep you in your mess. And so he's going to call you, and he's going to encourage you to come. "Come on, come home. Let me purify you. Let my son Jesus wash you of your sins. Come on, you come back to me." Or is it, do we just not understand God as it relates to a relationship with God. I have another little picture about religion versus a relationship. Religion says, I messed up. My dad is gonna kill me. The gospel says, I messed up. I need to call my dad quick. Let me read that again. Religion says, I messed up. My dad's gonna kill me. Some of you grew up in families like that. Your dad was gonna kill you, or maybe your dad wasn't around, and you take that mentality into your head and say, well, that has to be how God is. The gospel says, I'm a mess up. I'm a train wreck waiting to happen. I need to call my dad. You know, there's a big problem in the American family with fatherhood. So a lot of people have this fear that God hates them, or he wants to strike them down if they come to church, whatever. God says, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you get to call God Father. He's a good, good father. He provides for you. He protects you. He tells you the truth. He steers you in the right direction. If you get off track, he loves you enough to discipline you and kind of bring you back. But he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that's a loving, good God. Most people around here in South Jersey, it's religious. You came from a religious background. You say, oh, I got to kind of do what I have to do. And you have this burden on you. But God says, no, I love you. I want to walk in the coolness of day just like Adam and Eve did. I'm calling your name. I want you to have a relationship. I want you to know that I'm good and I'm faithful. And I did the hard work by sending my son Jesus on the cross so you would not have to die, but you could have life and life to the full. Can you stand some more good news? You know what everybody is nervous about in this room? Dying. So even if you live a long life, 90 years, 100 years, we're all gonna die. Some of you have been taught that there's three places to go: heaven, hell, and a place called purgatory. Do you know the Bible never talks about this place called purgatory? There's just a place called heaven and hell. This is some real stuff. But the Bible tells us that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to hell. You can have assurance that you would go to heaven. This is the most famous scripture verse in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I was taught this. You actually put your name where the name world is. So it'd be like this. For God so loved John that he gave his one and only son. Do whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life that's found in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if I pulled out of this parking lot and a car hit me, I know that I would instantly go to heaven because I have Jesus Christ in my heart. If you're not sure, put bubble wrap around your car, wear a helmet, go slow. But all that fear that you might have inside of you, Jesus Christ takes it away because he triumphed over the grave. He could triumph over the grave in your life and give you victory forever in eternity with him. And there's lies that are going around. Oh, you'll be in the middle there for a while and then someone could give some prayers. And say, nope. Hell was only designed for Satan and his angels. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants you to have life and have life to the full. So let me just explain to you what happened on the cross really quickly. The Bible says that Jesus Christ became sin for us. So you and I are sinners. Me too. Jesus Christ is holy. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says Jesus prayed this prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the moment that happened, all of the sins of the world, all the lying, all the cursing, all the immorality, all the jealousy, the anger, the fits of rage, all the violence of all time, a human came on Jesus Christ. And all of his holiness and all of his righteousness came on anyone who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone should call on the name of the Lord, you instantly become pure and holy because of what Jesus Christ did for you. If you believe on him and you say, well, isn't there different ways to go to heaven? The Bible says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to men by which they may be saved. So when Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected, he conquered sin, death, and the grave. It's the greatest miracle that's ever taken place. And if you'll believe on him, and you'll trust him for your salvation, that's the greatest miracle that's ever taken place because God loves you and has a plan for your life. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? Now we're going to close this service. And then Kevin, because God's doing such great things, he's taking us all to Chickie and Pete's today for crab fries. That's good. But the way we're going to end this service is maybe different than a church that you normally go to. We're going to believe God for his presence and power and miracles right here around the altar. If you need a miracle in your life, you've come to the right place, we want to pray. And as soon as we start singing, I want to invite you to come and stand around the altar. We're going to pray God for miracles. Ladies and gentlemen, if God does miracles, we're foolish people to stand here and sing. If Jesus Christ doesn't rise from the dead, we're very foolish people to stand here and waste our time. There's other things to do. But because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, there is power to transform people's lives. And God uses a tool called prayer. If people will call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. So we're praying for two miracles. Miracles in our life, and then secondly, the greatest miracle of all, salvation. It's when an individual like me and you says, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I'm insecure. I'm defensive. I'm not where I need to be. But I believe that Jesus, because he loves me, died on the cross to take away my sins, and he rose again. I believe him for my salvation. And you invite him into your heart to let him to transform you so you can be like Jesus. You turn from your sin. You say, Jesus, I receive all that you have for me. And God begins to do a work on the inside, from the inside out. And today is the day of salvation. So I don't mean to use a religious word, but let me just ask you this question. Are you saved? Have you received salvation? You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I just came here because of the petting zoo. I'm talking about the most important decision in your whole life. You stepping from darkness into light, you identifying with Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Say, I need salvation. Now, I'm here to preach to you that I'm not a perfect person. Jesus Christ saved me. He washed me. If you're in the house today and you're saved, let me just see your hand. You're saved. Praise the Lord. There's a second group of people. Either you're not saved and you want to be saved, or you're not sure, today's the day you can give your heart to Jesus Christ. Last night, we had a full house just like this. I think it was like 9 people that raised their hands and said, Pastor, would you pray for me for salvation? We had older people, like in their late 70s, give their hearts to the Lord. We had young people give their hearts to the Lord. Someone gave their heart to the Lord at 9:00 service. Listen, I'm just not trying to get you to raise your hand or come to the altar. That's not the whole thing. Sometimes it takes time to understand what we're talking about. But if you feel the weight of sin, if your conscience bothers you, your burden, you say, Lord Jesus, I'm so heavy with all this stuff in my life and I want a new life. Jesus Christ washes you of sin and gives you power to live victoriously in Jesus' name. And he wants to set you free. He wants to make you whole. He wants to do miracles in the house. And so we're going to believe God for miracles in the house today. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me just for a moment? I don't mean to embarrass you, but I just want to give you an opportunity. Sometimes God uses pastors and Christians to help lead people into salvation or taking the next step in their life. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need salvation. I need a fresh start, a new beginning. Just like Jesus rose from the grave with power. Say, I need a new new day of opportunity. I need God's power, His presence in my life, and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my heart to Him. I want to start following Him and serving Him. And the Lord's calling your name. He's calling you. He says, I love you. I care about you. I didn't say if you're a good person. There's no good people. I didn't say if you're a spiritual person. I said, do you want to get saved? Jesus is calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Everyone's got their head down, their eyes closed, but you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I need to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and come into my life. If that's you this morning, would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Say, that's me. I need the Lord to bring me salvation, hope, and healing today. God is a good and a faithful God. Just keep your hand up so I can see. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? 4 or 5 people. God bless you. Anyone else? God wants to love you. God bless you, young man. He has a plan for your life. Anyone else? You want salvation? Anyone else? Couple people to my left. 7 people. Anyone else in the back? 8. Anyone else? 9. Anyone else wants God's salvation today? He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to set you free. Anybody else? I think that might be 10. I'm not sure. Sometimes God uses people to help other people to pray. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask the whole congregation, but you 9 or 10 people, that you lifted up your hand, would you make this your prayer? A prayer of invitation. Prayer is just talking to God. You just tell God that you need Him, and you're going to follow Him. He will forgive you of sins. He will give you a new life that's found in Christ. He will give you the promise of the abiding Spirit. He will give you the assurance of eternal life with Him. Oh, what a celebration we're gonna have in just one moment. Can we pray together? Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, come on, let's do it together. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the grave. I admit that I'm a sinner. And so I invite you into my life to wash me of my sins and give me new life. In Jesus' name, as a follower of Jesus Christ, from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. He's a faithful and good God. Jesus. Jesus. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to close this service. We're going to sing that little chorus, I believe in you, I believe in miracles. If you need a miracle today, I want to tell you you've come to the right place. I want to tell you right now, you don't have to pay me. I want to tell you I don't do the miracles. Jesus Christ does the miracles. But if we'll believe in God, the Bible says that signs and wonders will always accompany the preaching of His word. That's a fact. South Jersey needs the power of God to transform people's lives and beat down everything that's not true, everything that's not right. And we believe that God is alive and He wants to do miracles. And if you need a miracle in your life, now listen, if you just raised your hand too and you feel comfortable coming down to the front, that's the greatest miracle. We're gonna believe God for God to set people free and to help people in Jesus' name. So if you've come here today and you need a miracle, I invite you to come. Come right now. We're gonna pray and close this service out believing God.